Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Genetics is one of those subjects that the more we know, the less we seem to know. There was a time when people believed that genes caused things. We got our eye color or our hair color or the straightness or the curliness from our genes, and that was a done deal. Now we know that it's a lot more complicated than that. Genes are more possibilities than done deals. It's also recognized that multiple environmental factors can change the expression of genes or whether they're even expressed at all. For those who like guarantees, this is all very troubling. But the good news is that it enables a tremendous amount of diversity to occur within an individual and within a species, and certainly within an entire ecosystem. Because of this, when we look at the basic repertoires of animal species, a lot of them are quite elegant and simple. And nowhere is this more true than in the cat. The basic feline repertoire has been remarkably unchanged over thousands of years. I saw a good example of this in Bamboo, my cat, on the first day of spring. By that time, Bamboo was pretty much coming to the end of his self-imposed exile to the house, and were he a person, I would say he was suffering from cabin fever. Only, unlike the stories I've read of cabin fever in humans, in which people can get pretty doggone weird and even violent, Bam's cabin fever typically takes the form of coming up with new games. On that particular morning, he had positioned himself under the bench at the end of my bed. I have a ritual in the morning that when I come upstairs to work in the office first thing, I turn on the computer and while it's booting up, I go into my bedroom and make the bed. While I make the bed, the little dogs come running into the room, jump on the bench and run up to the top of the bed where I'm straightening it and start acting like fools. I have no idea how this started or why this started. But undoubtedly, the fact that it inevitably makes me laugh has kept it going. But on this particular morning, when they came charging into the bedroom from the office, they saw the cat under the bench, and the cat under the bench saw them. I don't know whether this particular canine maneuver awakened ancient memories of cooperative hunting strategies in lions, but what happened next suggested it did. First, the lion hunting strategy. When a pride of lions decides to go after larger prey like wildebeest, they form a hunting party that's made up a specific number of lions, like lionesses, who each have a role. Some of the lions go to the left, some go to the right, some stay directly behind, making a V formation that they use to drive the herd in the direction they want it to go. While they're doing this, another lion creeps along the sides and gets positioned at the bottom of a shallow culvert ahead of the herd. Then, when the other lionesses drive the herd across the culvert, the lioness in the culvert leaps up and snags the wildebeest and brings it down. I'm sure you can figure out where this story is headed when it comes back into my bedroom. Fricka goes to the right, and Ollie goes to the left, and Frick keeps going, jumps on the bench, and comes up to me as usual. But Ollie hesitates, just that little bit. And it's conceivable that maybe that's what happens to one particular wildebeest when he or she comes to the edge of that culvert. Ollie hesitated, and because he hesitated, that enabled Bamboo to zero in on him. When Ollie made his charge and leaped up on the bench, that cat hit him from below and dragged him down. Of course, in this particular case, it ended in play with the two of them rolling on the floor and Ollie doing his usual canine swearing and Bamboo bashing him with his hind feet and his front paws and trying to grab his ear with his teeth. And in general, a good time was had by all. But for that one brief moment, on the first day of spring, surrounded by snow and bitter cold and stuck in the little house, Bamboo possibly was transported to the Serengeti. And in that brief instant, he became wild, he became free, and he awakened those shadows of ancient behavior and used them to make a marvelous game.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.